Congratulations, you. You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. Yes, you are.
And now we have the wonderful Georgia Lyons here on the radio. How are you doing, Georgia?
I'm so good. How are you going?
Yes, very good, thanks. I'm not normally the breakfast host, so I've really struggled to get up in the morning and to host for like 3 hours, and it's like 8 a.m, which is not that early, but it's early enough that I'm like, oh my God.
Early enough. How many coffees have you had today?
I've had zero. I don't even know how I'm doing it. I haven't had the time to even make a coffee. It's terrible.
Well, I'm sending you my fake coffee, my decaf.
Nice.
Green right now.
Yeah.
Not that it's going to help much, but...
is that your morning routine? You're a decaf... Boss.
I'm a decaf gal, and I always feel slightly on the embarrassed side when I, you know, order my coffee, because I just feel like I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so aware that, you know, you're a barista and you frown upon people that don't drink real caffeine.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm kind of like, well, coffee doesn't go well with me, but I love the taste. So decaf, it is.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I'm the same. I reckon it's too intense. I don't want to be anxious in the morning. It's silly time. Why is everyone so obsessed with it? Horrible, horrible thing. I shouldn't say that on air. That's going to lose all of our
Sorry,
listeners.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
So you've been making music for... We were just talking about you've been making music for about 10 years, at least as far as I've known.
Yeah.
And could you tell our audience members who might not have heard some of your stuff before a little bit about what the Georgia Lyons project is and what you and your musical journey has been about?
Yeah, sure. Well, I am... called Georgia Lyons. That is my real human name.
Whoa.
You know, just to clarify in case anyone was wondering out there. But yeah, I've been making music since high school, really. You know, playing the guitar and playing the piano, and you know, I entered into RockQuest in the, you know, high school age and stage. Mm-hmm. And in my last year of high school, I ended up winning RockQuest, which was amazing. And I feel like that just gave me such a confidence boost. You know, feeling like, oh, other people think that I'm maybe good at what I do, and you know, I'm just gonna give this a real good go. And so, yeah, I've been pursuing music and trying to navigate the ups and downs of the industry, and you know, COVID, and being able to play live, and you know, moving everything online. And I still so distinctly remember, you know, when we went into lockdown, how all of a sudden just the live on Instagram, live on Facebook, kind of show from your bedroom or from your kind of became such a big thing. And I learned so much in that, you know, that portion of time, that it really forced me creatively to kind of adjust everything. I think it did that for a lot of people, but that was kind of the time where I was releasing my first project, my first EP. And since then I've been releasing music and got a new song out today, which is really exciting. I don't know if that gives you enough of a synopsis.
No, that's great.
That is I.
Cool, very cool. And I like the mention of the dark times of COVID, which I think had a really profound impact on a lot of artists, and we were all quite good at talking about it right after the fact, but now it's kind of faded into this thing that no one remembers to acknowledge or realizes how that affected their music and stuff like that. Were you one of those people who like hold down and found your new style or something, or like discovered something, created music in your own space, or was it a reflective time for you?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really stop, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I felt like for me personally, the moment I stopped, I would find it really hard to pick things up again. You know, and I know lots of people had found that. It was like all of a sudden this momentum leading into, not that we all knew lockdown was going to happen, but I had been working on this project with my very first, you know, it took me years to release a project, and all of a sudden, you know, I had all these plans of playing shows and celebrating the release, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm in lockdown in Mount Maunganui, where I was living at the time, and you know, all of a sudden you're like, I can't play a live show. I don't, no one's doing interviews, no one's doing anything. So it really did force a lot of creativity, and I think for me, honestly, my job was such a gift, like, to kind of help me have something to work on and carry on with, you know, when there was kind of nothing else to, not nothing else to do, because there was a lot to do, but
yeah
so I feel like, to be honest, there was a lot of momentum that I was working on, behind the scenes so that when the lockdowns kind of shifted, all of a sudden I'd been working on all the stuff, and so it didn't feel as kind of difficult to, you know, kind of pick things up again, which mm-hmm. I'm really grateful for, because it was a real tough time.
Cool, no, it's cool to hear how that influenced your music, and it's like this funny kind of element of being like stunting the whole music industry, but also like some of those things can often help people grow or learn or be more reflective about what they're creating or why they're creating it and things like that. Yeah. And so your music has been under your own name for a while now, which is very cool and intimidating. Has that meant that you feel like you've created a kind of persona around that image? Has that been something that you've always intended to be a solo performer? When you perform live, what does it look like as a group or along to music and things like
that? I think for me, like I do talk about myself a lot in third person. Because that, I guess it kind of helps me bring some kind of like separation between my job and myself as a human being.
Yeah.
But there is basically crossover because in every area, because, you know, everything that I create is about my life mm-hmm. and, you know, the way in which I experience it and the people around me and how I have released music and engaged with, you know, my audience and engaged with people online has very much been like what you see is what you get. So there's not this like separate persona for me that is different to the stage Georgia and the Georgia that you would see, you know, at a cafe or it's very much one and the same person, which I don't know if I've shot myself in the foot with that, but that just feels like the most authentic version of myself. And if I'm gonna do this, like I want to be the most authentic version of myself, and I don't really want to do it any other way. So it feels like I don't have to kind of pretend to be creatively some other thing. It's just a natural expression of myself. And I think when it comes to live, it's very much the same as well. I do remember in COVID feeling like this kind of realization of no one is asking me to do anything or be anything other than myself when it comes to playing live. And so I just need to do that and be that on stage and feel fully comfortable being myself on stage and not feeling like I have to fit this magical persona that I think someone might expect of me. It's been interesting, that's for sure. It's a lot of learning and a lot of, you know, trying to figure out where the boundary is of living my life, being a human, and also doing this as a job. And, you know, my business is called Georgia Lines. That's my business.
Cool. And so we're having the corridor today because you've released this new track, which we're very excited to play on the radio, Wonderful Life. And it also has a beautiful video as well in the Manawatu, which is where I'm from, so I'm excited
love
to see that.
Thank you.
It's got this kind of mantra in it about a wonderful life, which is really nice and a kind of healing, restorative, almost spiritual kind of thing to get to hear in like a catchy song, which is, yeah, really nice element. And also this beautiful kind of melancholic, euphoric kind of keys that I really like in it. It's like this nice nostalgic sound. It makes me think of maybe Adrian Lenker or some of the kind of modern, really delicate, beautiful pop artists around at the moment. What made you write that song, and like what did you bring to this, and how does this maybe stand apart from some of your previous work? Because I really like this piece. It's really cool.
Thank you so much. I'm really proud of it too. Okay, so there's multiple questions in there. You kind of touched a little bit on the mantra. I think that's probably, you know, one of the biggest things for me that the song was really connected to and I wanted to write about. You know, I'm one of those people that write things on post-it notes and put them everywhere. You know, or if someone buys me a card, like I never throw that card out.
Yeah, totally.
I'm quite a collector. And I've done this ever since I was a kid, but a couple of years ago I started kind of, you know, putting all these things on my fridge and on my mirror, and there was this thread that I continued to find myself kind of, you know, affirming, you know, within my journey, it's saying, like, I will live a wonderful life. It is a wonderful life. Like, I can do hard things. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, kind of, you know, especially when I'm exercising, I'm like, you can do hard things. Yeah. You can, like, you can do this. So, you know, for me, that it's a wonderful life and I will live a wonderful life was a really important one for me. And, you know, even when things, I don't know if you've experienced this, but, you know, when things are real tough and you feel like things aren't wonderful. I mean, I've used that word so many times, but we're just going to keep using it. You know, on the surface, when things don't look so great, like, there is still so much goodness that happens around us in really tiny things. And so that mantra for me was kind of the thing that pulled me forward and was such a gift. So I really wanted to write about it. And then you can kind of feel that within the song. It's this kind of constant reminder and this moving, textured, not wonky is not the right word, but there's just kind of this very real humanness to the song, which I really love. In terms of, like, you know, my past stuff that I've released, I had my debut record, The Rose of Jericho, which came out last June, almost a year now, which is crazy. That, you know, I wouldn't even say that was necessarily pop, but it probably was. It was in the pop realm. So it was very ballady, very big piano, vocal, quite deep, emotive, wore my heart on my sleeve. Here's my deepest, darkest thoughts in a journal, and here you are, world. Whereas this song, you know, it feels like the continuation from that. It's still very honest. It's still very human. But the sound, I think, is something that's a slight shift. It's got that more acoustic drive to it, which is really fun because I haven't played acoustic since I was in high school. This thing that I re-picked up again and, you know, have been loving playing. Like, Matt, who produced and helped me write it, him and I played everything on the track, which was super fun to kind of, you know, I was like, okay, that's right, play the guitar and play the piano and let's figure out how we can make this ourselves. So, yeah, it's less clean, it's less polished, but I think it's like, I'm really, really proud of it and I love it.
Cool. Yeah, that's really great to hear. And yeah, it is a super cool track. And hopefully a sign of things to come as well. Have you got, been moving into this mood? Are you kind of viewing music in some of those narratives and ways that you were talking about now that you think you might be writing in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I what's the saying where you're like, I can or can't deny that I don't know what that saying is, but I've really butchered it. I fully butchered it, but there may or may not be a bigger thing attached to this project that we have not yet talked about. Who knows? No,
great.
But yeah, it's I really wanted to make something that held imperfections and held, you know, I didn't want tuning on the vocals. I didn't want, it was just the guitar. If you solo out the guitar track, you can hear the wonkiness of my playing and you can hear the slightly out of tune, you know, thing that makes the song exactly as it needs to be. So I think watch the space. I'm that punishing person that's like, cannot confirm. I'll confirm. That's the saying.
It's because your judge aligns the business.
Boss lady.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's very exciting, and I'm very excited to hear what more might come out of that kind of musical space. You talked very briefly before about, so you're from Mount Maunganui, and I was kind of wondering about what it's like playing music there, and then also kind of breaking from that local scene to a national scene as well for artists who are listening.
For sure. I mean, there's so many amazing writers and artists and even really young artists that are coming out of the Mount or who have come out of the Mount, and amazing successful bands that still live in the Mount.
Yeah.
You know, you've got LAB and Tiki, and you've got these like incredible writers and producers and artists that are doing really cool stuff. There's a cool little scene down there. I mean, we're not super far from Auckland, so often when I was living there, was doing a lot of driving up and back to Auckland. But I've got such an amazing support network. Anytime I play a show there, I feel like it's a pretty special environment, you know, to play a show. There is a lot more happening when you go outside of a small town. in terms of musically. There's more shows that are happening, but I love the Mount. I love the people. I love playing. Any chance I can get to play like a home show, it's always pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah, and it's always great to hear music from smaller places and smaller towns. There's like there's a degree of kind of earnestness and stuff you get behind it, but also it's just nice to see stuff coming from the regions and not just like, you know, the Tamaki or Ponaki music over and over again, you know. and it's great to see someone in that position also doing really successfully, because you've had a whole bunch of success at the AMAs and also Tate and things like that as well, which is really, really cool. How's that affected your like music, and how's that felt and been for you to get recognition on a national level?
I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like personally for me, I really love what I do, and I always want to make sure that, you know, whatever I'm putting out in the world, whether it's a piece of music or content or, you know, the visuals or the, you know, doing a show, that it's something that I'm really proud of, and that there's so much intention that's intentionality that's been put into that specific thing. So I think, you know, with the album, it has been really lovely, you know, being recognized and you know, other people outside of me feeling like I've really loved this project, and it means something so much to me. So yeah, I mean, it's like a really lovely hug, kind of being like, what you've done, and we think it's really good. And you know, regardless of what happens, like it's been such an amazing project with so much growth for me as an artist and as a person. And yeah, it's been so nice to celebrate with my team and my family, and to acknowledge the journey and acknowledge like how much we all, because it's not just me, it's like we all poured our time and energy and souls into that album. So yeah, it's definitely not just a nod to me, but to the wider team as well. So amazing.
Cool. And talking about the wider team there, actually, I'd be quite interested, like, what does a sort of bigger team look like for you, writing music on your own, but then having obviously like a support network like anybody does in music, of, you know, producers or mixers and things like that. How much of that do you have people that you've stayed with and been with forever involved in things like that, or how much have you done of yourself or tried to find and source, you know, the latest and greatest of things like that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I am very limited in my knowledge, and so and we all are, you know, we can know something really well to a degree. So I'm such a big believer in being like, let's find someone else who's better at the thing than me, and let's work together and figure out how we can collaborate to make this thing awesome. You know, so I've got an amazing band, I've got an amazing you know, management team and booking agents and people that really carry me and support me and check in and work really hard. And they all say, well, we can only work as hard as you work. So, you know, I'm like, well, I get it. You guys are working really hard too. So I feel, like I'm just surrounded by pretty amazing people, and people that are willing to support my vision and support, you know, the direction of the Georgia Lines bus. About myself in third person again. Yeah, and then in terms of musically, like each project, I love collaborating with people. I love writing with heaps of different people and working out, you know, what's the right fit for this next thing. Hypothetically speaking, if there was to be a project that was coming out some point this year, you know, one of the things that has been really awesome is feeling like I've found someone that I've really connected with. Musically, being able to write in a way that I haven't really written before, and kind of helped me pen, you know, words and musicality to stuff that it just has felt like it's kind of pushed me. I've loved working with Matt. I met him through Song Hubs. I don't know if you've heard of the Song Hubs, stuff that they do, but it's my first Song Hubs. I met Matt Hales. So he is the artist, or the artist name, Aqualung. And he's worked with the likes of Olivia Dean, and I'm such a big fan of her. I mean, he's worked with so many different people, but he's just such a great human being. I just loved spending time with him and felt like we got along really well and lived off cheese toasties and cups of tea. So yeah, it every project kind of has like a different flavor, and you know, there's people that I will forever work with, and love them as people and love them as writers, and that makes such a difference when you're working with people that you really like as humans, and you don't just feel like this little circus monkey that people want something from. So yeah, definitely big. I'm big on finding the right people to fit into your team for sure.
Cool. Well, I don't have much time for much more questions or anything. But really appreciated the kōrero. It's been a really nice talk. But I thought, just because it's New Zealand Music Month at the moment, if there's any New Zealand artists that recently and also historically have been influencing you or inspiring you, or you've been following and are really excited about, I'd love to know some of the music that you've been interested in.
There's so many. I mean, we're so lucky. There's a, you know, a big pool of artists that are making really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And such a wide range of stuff as well. I mean, we don't have time to chat about it now, but that's what's been really cool about doing this intros, the little web series that I've created, and kind of seeing different artists and songwriters and hearing people perform. So, you know, there's a new artist, she's 16, her name's Nico Grace. She's incredible, her voice, I don't understand how that comes out of her mouth. You know, she's writing in Te Reo Māori, and she's such an incredible, incredible young wahine. Paige has got a new song out today.
Yeah, cool.
Love her, I'm so inspired by her. You know, and her journey and continuing to just like do the grind and continue to write music and put herself out there. Kaylee Bow, like, I just think there's so many wonderful wahine that are really in their lane, doing their thing and working really, really hard. And I'm so inspired by them. Honestly, there's so many.
Cool.
I could just continue on.
Awesome. That's great. Really appreciate that. And also for our listeners as well, to check out more of your intros, where can they find that?
Yeah, it currently lives on the interweb. That's what the youths say these days. It predominantly lives on Instagram, intros.nz.
Cool.
It's somewhere on YouTube, but yeah, you can find it. There's heaps of like awesome conversations, awesome live performances, and resources as well. If you're like a young artist, or not even a young artist, and you've just got questions and you want, you know, some answers, there's some really great content in there. So
cool, awesome. Well, absolutely check that out. And thanks again, Georgia. Really appreciated you being on.
My pleasure.
Great chat.
Thank you so
much. See ya.
Bye.
Cool. Here we go. This is Georgia Lyons' new track, Wonderful Life. You're tuned into Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi, and I hope you're having a beautiful day and enjoyed that wee chat. Here we go.
'Cause it's a wonderful life.
Cool.
Baby, it's a wonderful life. Even as I'm waving goodbye, don't look back, you're gonna make it just fine. And it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life.
Ooh. Thank you for listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast. There's heaps more at r1.co.nz.